We just, we love our Lenny Lou. I was telling her when we were going to introduce her, you know, I'll say something about you, you know, and I said the first thing that pops in my mind is, yeah, we just picked you up like a stray on the road. Her car had broken down on the road here one time when the kids were just little babies, and I didn't even know Lindy, and we happened to be driving by at just the right time and saw her stalled on the road, and a God-ordained thing. We picked her up, and anyway, went to Dolls and the whole shebang, but I'm just so proud of you, Lindy, and how you've grown from this little, you know, just a young Christian and into a mature, yeah, young punk. Now you're a mature woman of the Lord, and God is faithful to you. So share with us.
Good, then I don't have to introduce myself. I wish I could get up here and just give my testimony right off the cuff like everybody else, but when I was asked to share my testimony, I didn't know how I was even going to be able to put it into words, so I put it to paper. But I did search the Lord and asked him, you know, how to go about it. How am I going to put this journey of mine in a way that can truly be a good testimony? My testimony is not the kind of testimony that everybody loves to hear about, that I love to hear about, like healings and deliverances. My testimony is found in the battling of the wise, and I don't understand the confusion and torment, the disappointment, anger, bitterness, frustrations that can go on, the despair, the discontentments with life, and finally, the what do I really believe about God's character, about his word. 2 years ago this month, I lost my son in a battle against a cancerous brain tumor. The day my firstborn child died was the day my heart was completely crushed. It has been a very long and difficult journey losing someone who is so very, very precious to my heart and a very special treasure to our family. And the heart-wrenching pain of being separated from him was oftentimes so intense and overwhelming that I could hardly bear up underneath it. It has been a journey that has impacted me to the very core, oftentimes challenging my faith and trust in God. In the beginning, I couldn't see how God could possibly heal my shattered heart from something that was so tremendously traumatic to me. And in looking back, I'm not sure I was even willing to allow God to bring healing. For you see, in my mind, to hang on to that great sorrow and heartache was a true testament of how much I dearly loved and missed my son. But to accept the loss, to let him go, and to move forward actually felt like betrayal of my love for him. But I thank God for his faithfulness to hold me up and never leave me or forsake me. He has been so merciful and patient with me. I am so grateful for his grace that has been carrying me through. I will admit that my heart is still in the healing process, and I am a work in progress, but I am here to testify that my God is bringing me through the valley. His light is beginning to break through the dark clouds of heaviness and despair. He's helping me to adjust to this new way of living. He wants me to see Brennan in heavenly ways rather than earthly ways. He wants me to see that Brennan hasn't been left behind, but he's already ahead of us. Shortly after Brennan passed on, God revealed John 12:24 to us. Unless a grain of wheat dies and falls to the ground, the harvest will not come. He told us that he had a greater purpose through all this. In some measure, that was comforting to us. I know that God allows us to go through certain difficult and trying times in our lives. I know we all have experienced it to some level along the way. I believe the reason God allows such tests and trials is for the purpose of forming and sharpening true character in our lives and for preparing us for future roles. According to Smith Wigglesworth, a mighty minister of God who prayed for people and saw many miracles transpire before his very eyes, professed that every trial is to prepare us for a greater position for God. He proclaims that we should rejoice in our trials because wonderful blessings will come of them, and that it is in the trials that we are made. Even in James 1:2, it states that we should count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or perseverance, but let patience, let perseverance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing. I know that I can testify through this experience, as extremely difficult as it is, that it has caused me to examine my heart for what do I truly believe. It has challenged me to dig deeper into my faith and trust in God, and has caused me to draw even closer into a more intimate relationship with Him. I know now that trials and sufferings in a Christian's life do play a significant role in our lives, if we allow them to. You know, I never wanted losing a child to be a part of my life story. But it is. But I have a choice that I can make through it all. I can either harden my heart to God through all the pain and disappointment and live the rest of my life living in grief and sorrow in order to prove how much I love and miss my son, or I can open up to God and allow Him to do something amazing in me and through me to help bring forth that greater purpose. Therefore, I am determined to allow myself to go through every part of the journey, as difficult as it might be, in order that my life, my family's lives, and the lives of others around me may be touched and transformed for the glory of God. I believe that this will indeed be a far greater honor and testament to my son's life and my love for him. His death will not be in vain, but will serve a powerful purpose for the glory of our God. Something else that has helped me through all the times of struggling is the remembrance that God is sovereign. He is not only the beginning and end, but He is everything in between. He sees the whole picture and knows how to bring about the best possible outcome, whether we can see things on this side of it or not. So we can rejoice in what God is doing in our lives, even though it is beyond our understanding. I came across a quote that said, "Joy emerges from the ashes of adversity through your trust and thankfulness to God." We have to remember and solidify in our hearts that no matter what our circumstances are, and no matter what we've been through, that God is still good, and He can still be trusted. He knows how to fit everything together in our lives, every single piece, to bring about a glorious masterpiece. So praise God, that's what He's... I'm still a work in progress. So I just want to thank you all for allowing me to share this personal journey with you. I believe that in doing so... Stepping out of my comfort zone, stretching me, is a significant step in the direction God is taking me. So I thank you for allowing me to share. And if you would oblige me about 3 more minutes, I have a powerful song about trust that I wanted to share. I hope it touches you as it's touched me, because my journey has been a lot about learning to trust when it doesn't make sense. So thank you.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need
I will trust in you. There's no if after that word, is there? Just a solid resolve. Thank you, Lindy. Maybe we heard the foreword to your book.
Yeah, amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you, too, Connie, for sharing. And, you know, thank you for letting us bear your burdens. And Lindy, too. This touched me. Get it together, people. Where are we going, peeps? Anybody else have something they feel the Lord's just laying on their heart? Maybe it's a word of encouragement. Yep.
You know, the love manifests itself through mercy. I wrote that down on the page of my Bible. That is, if you just really think about that, that's pretty awesome. You know, because how many times do we need to be giving mercy to people? Mercy to our kids, mercy to a lot of people. And that's how love is manifested towards them. And that little phrase will stick with me.
Anybody else? It's a great training ground, you know, with the group of gals that you can just trust and to stretch you into being able to give your testimony. So,
when you said that stretch, I'm sorry. It's no coincidence when God brings you to places, and I just need to testify and encourage you, each and every one of you. God is faithful, and you know the enemy wants to just, like we've been here, you know, he wants to come in and deceive you and everything. And when certain things happen in your life, you know, it can disshroud everything, your perception of everything and everything in your life. And well, I come from a Muslim family. I came to Christ through some Christian friends when I was 11 years old. And my heart was on fire. I wanted to be a missionary, evangelist, speak for the Lord. But, you know, things come in. My innocence was taken away when I was a child, and that probably began the road of me turning away from the Lord and to the world and the deception of things. And it wasn't until after I had been pregnant before I got married. And, I mean, we married in the intent, you know, and got married, but I had my two kids. Then I come back to the Lord. But it's like all that brokenness and everything in life, and you're trying to be a Christian, and you get filled with the Holy Spirit. You go through all the steps, and it was just neat. And then you get plant. You're in a Pentecostal church, and it just seemed like time after time you're getting dumped on. You had no esteem in the first place, and you're going through life, and you're just trying to be a Christian, and you're wondering, like, you know, when you said that scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you, you know. I was sitting here going, God, where is it? Where is it? You know? And you're going through life and you're going through things, and then you find yourself even sometimes in sin, you know, but God is bringing you. He's working in your life. He never leaves you or forsakes you. And, you know, and you're in the church and you're sitting there going, why is people dumping on me? Why are they jerking me around? You know, I can't even be a Christian, you know. And I'm sitting there going, what's going on? And it finally, was it a year? Last year, things just came to a head. You know, previously I thought I was going to be in this good health ministry where it taught things of the value of God, and I thought I was happy. And that door just slammed in my face, and it's just like things fall apart. So here was it last year when your own family disrespects you, you just finally say, what is this? You know, and the Lord. And so then I says, I need to seek counsel. I need to find someone that will build in me, help me. And I found a counselor. And like how you talked about the truth takes captive of the deceptions and the lies. He built in me the truth. He began to take, and when you gave the vision of the shrubs, or the grubs, and that's, I said, that was me. I was planted full of grubs. I couldn't grow. I couldn't go anywhere. I just, you know, I couldn't, it just seemed like I was just captive. And I finally made the decision. I said, I'm not attending this church anymore. I'm going to go get counsel and go to a place where I can just be fed. And that's the best decision that I did. And, you know, I've gone, went from December and went through the summer. And he talked about, I shared with him, I want to be an evangelist. I want to be a missionary. And he says, well, can you do that in your state of mind, you know? And then I began to realize that I don't have a healthy mind. My mind is just full of yuck, you know, just crud. And so he began to be, and you know, I have to be, I'm responsible for all that. And so I began to do that. I have clutter in my house that was procrastinated, boxes of papers and stuff that never been gone through and just shoved, you know. And he said, start a box a day, you know, and you begin to do that. And, you know, and I'm sitting there going, wow, now I'm seeking God. And I'm seeing things added unto me. Things that were closed. Things where I fell short on. I'm now a certified paraprofessional where my education, I stopped short, you know? And you can see that God is faithful. And he will take care of you. You yield, I just, you know, it's a daily walk. You yield to him. You yield to him, you know? And he's faithful, and he's given, helping me have a healthy mind. Amen.
Pray the Lord just continues to renew your mind too through his word. Through his word. Yep. Amen. Anybody else? Good stuff.
This conference is an eye-opener. And I want to thank you, Victoria, for praying, because I'm the one who's been silenced, or was. I was silenced probably since the time I stepped into North Dakota, which is about 3 years ago, and I was told that I would not be allowed to preach from that pulpit. And I'm an ordained minister, and had been since 2002. I've had two churches. I've had women's ministries. I've had the Bible studies. I've done whatever God's asked me to do, and moved to North Dakota and was silenced when I got here. But I continued to stay silenced because also found it in other places. And I'm thankful for this ministry and this church that has opened up a door that I have been able to be a part of a Bible study and be able to speak. And I stand on a scripture that I was given, oh my goodness, back in 1984. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, so that song speaks to my heart. I will trust in you. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your understanding. In all the ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I carried that for 7 years in my wallet because somebody gave it to me. I was not active in a church. I was not saved. I wasn't anything. Went to Texas, ended up in a church. Actually, went to a baseball game. God has a sense of humor. Went to a baseball game, not intending to go to a church, except all night long I kept going, I'm going to church. I'm going to church. I'm going to go to church. I didn't sleep. Because she told me she was going to go to church with her brother. So I was awake all night, and I was in the church, and they were airing live from Jerusalem. And it was Bob Tilton's church. I didn't know Bob Tilton, but I was in his church, and all these people were standing, raising their hands, and I'm thinking, I've never seen this before.
I don't know this. I was raised Catholic and not active. And at the end of the service, all of a sudden he says, we need to stop because someone's here. Someone is in this church that it's time to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your understanding. In all the ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I'm like, I know that. I know that. I've carried this in my wallet. Oh, my goodness. I pulled it out of my wallet and said, see, I have this. I have this. And it connected me to the Lord. That was so awesome. Someone believed in me and gave it to me. And even though it took 7 years, years of completion, he brought forth the life of who I am. And I've learned how to trust him. And in being silent, which has been very difficult, the Lord, what he showed me through Victoria, which is awesome today, and it's for all of us, it's not just for me, but he's looking down with a smile on his face because he loves you all and he wants you to be what God called you to be. It's not just me, but it's for every person that's here that's opened up their heart to say, I want more and I want to be obedient to what you've called me to do. So I encourage you to be obedient to what God has called you to do. Don't be silent, unless he tells you to. I feel that there'll be a change. I'm not sure what that change is going to bring, and it may bring some difficulties, but my God's bigger and he's gone before me, and I know that he will direct the path for which he has called me upon, and he will do the same for you.
I just feel like maybe we should just switch things up a little bit. And I think it's so important that we hear from you and that other women hear from you of how God has brought you out of something. How, you know, if you were bound by something and he has brought you out, he's given you the victory over an area in your life, or, you know, I want you to think of something specific that had you bound that God has given you victory in. And we'll let Victoria move her to the next session. She's compliant. She's fine. But let's just use this next half hour or so, and just, you know, as many as you can, think of ways that God has brought you out. I just really want it to be a testimony to other women that are struggling in it that, yes, I can be set free too. God can deliver me from this bondage that I'm in. And so, Cindy, go ahead.
Hi. I grew up in a home where you barely survived, and fear was the way I grew up. I grew up in fear and want, and that was just, it became so ingrained in me that as more traumatic things would get added to my life, I got really locked up in a lot of ways. So I think sometimes God brings things that seem very natural along to unlock you. And I went through a period where when we moved to the farm that we live on, my husband all of a sudden was gone a great deal, and I was home sometimes by myself for 3 or 4 days. And I got very fearful because I would hear noises, and there had been times where I knew people had been in the house, and vehicles would drive up my long driveway and then just sit and watch me, and just strange things. And I started to just let that fear just like eat away at my life, thinking, what if this and what if that? And you know, as a little kid, I mean, I was always very imaginative, but a lot of times the enemy would use that against me. And so I really don't know why, but I heard about a women's self-defense course, and I thought, I'm going to take that. And I did. And although that was a very natural thing, I got to say, it unlocked a certain amount of fear. Now, through that, something else happened. I really don't even know how the Holy Spirit did this, but the Holy Spirit convicted me that I was responsible. I was responsible for what went on in here. That when the enemy brought things to mind, I was responsible for what I did with it. Did I hold it? Did I reject it? Did I replace it with the truth? Or did I just keep mulling it over and over? And, you know, I'd been taught about sexual sin and things like that and how to, you know, run from that and avoid it. But no one had ever taught me that I was to cast down every vain thought. Well, what does that mean? That's anything that lifts itself up against the Lord. Whether that's conceit or envy or fear or confusion, we have a choice. We have a choice. And I just praise God that, you know, I'm not a finished work by any means, but just how God has transformed my heart. And, you know, one of the things that he started to deal with me on is how often I would be disappointed and my first response would be not outwardly, but inward anger. And I would just stew for weeks and weeks sometimes over things that people had done to hurt me or something that I thought was going to work out a certain way and it didn't. And I would just stew and stew over it. But that's a vain thought too. You know, God wants us to have a mind that is transformed by the renewing of his mind. He wants that helmet of salvation to be on our head to protect us from the wiles of the enemy. He wants us to flee from what is evil, not just in the things that we outwardly do, but in the inward man, and that includes our minds. And I think as women so often, we have been fed so much garbage in our culture that we've just swallowed. And as God's beautiful workmanship, he wants us to have a clean, pure, fearless, bold, righteous mind. And my husband's an addiction counselor, and I hadn't ever been in this particular office of his, and I walked in, and here's this big sign, and it says, "Not everything you think is true." Yes!
Somebody else. I'm going to wait. Tammy.
Mine goes along with Cindy's with fear. My husband works in South Dakota. Every fall, all week long, comes home on weekends. And so me and my two little boys are left to ourselves at the farm. Well, as minds run, and it was awful to the point where my kids' rooms are in the basement. I would have them sleep with me in my bed, so we were all together just in case. And Taterbug, bless her heart, babysat me all last fall, and babysat me and the boys. I would say sometime this spring, I was freed from fear, and that is the best feeling in the world, because it had such, I mean, there was a light on the barn that was shining off our mailbox. I thought somebody was parked at the end of our driveway shining. I mean, just the stuff that you would think of was just ridiculous, you know. So fear can just take you and destroy your mind. So I praise God for ridding me of that. It's an amazing feeling.
Who's next?
I just wanted to share, kind of, because they were talking about fears and stuff, but as I went through the counseling, I had to first begin with my value. because I had nothing. I really kind of thought of myself as nothing, and a lot of things in my mind, I mean, it was just, there's a lot of things, attacks, I was battling all the time. It just, you know, all these thoughts going through your mind, and it, you know, felt like Satan was just after you all the time, you know, you could turn and kind of look this way, and you just, you know, it's almost like dread. And that's, you know, a lot what we're hearing here is our value in God. You know, we can base it on all the things we've gone through, all our brokenness and all the stuff, the sins, whatever in life, and we can live out of that value. But that's not the value of who we are. God doesn't even look at us. Our value is in Him, in the righteousness, and His love is pure. It's beyond. And, you know, we need to receive it. And as soon as I began to apply that truth in my life and apply His love, the value in who I was, and began to take responsibility of the things in my life and those battles in the mind began to be gone. All the fears, all the things were gone. He delivered me. You closed those doors, because all the lies and the deceptions were being replaced by the truth and who I was in Christ. And as you receive it and you live in it, and there's the freedom that you live in it, you know, and you begin to step out in that. And it's an awesome feeling. I mean, you don't even have to base it on a feeling. It's the awesome presence living in you, because you know who you are in Christ, and it'll never be taken away.
It's like I kind of shared a little bit this morning as far as men in my life and everything, and I was 13 when I found out that the guy that was raising me could possibly not be my father. I was basically told I was an accident from an affair. So at 13, my world got crushed and told I was an accident. At 16, I got kicked out. I became a wonderful, rebellious child because I told my mom that I didn't like her way of living, of partying and drugs and alcohol. So I became a housewife at 16. Mother at 18, and as you know, I'd kind of the men in and out of my life, trying to not become my mother. I became a drug-free, alcohol-free replica of my mother until about 3 years ago, and that's when things really started to turn around for me. Since then, I have been, up to that point, I was almost a victim. Why is this happening to me? Why am I so mad? Why does everybody hate me? Why does everybody blah, 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 blah? It's all about why me? Why can't I be good enough? I was never good enough for anybody. I was never smart enough. I was never pretty enough. I was never anything. I was never anything for anybody. I was stomped on. I'd been abused physically, mentally, emotionally, verbally, every way possible from men in my life. From father figures to boyfriends to husbands, whatever. My last husband, not the one I'm married to now, I know that sounds horrible, I will be the first to admit it, but I walked away. I had found out that he was doing drugs, he had a porn addiction, he had a lot of problems that I was not going to put myself into. I did not deserve that. I deserved more. I realized that somewhere there was a fire in me. There was a worth in me. I didn't know what it was. I'm still not completely sure yet. But now over this time, I've been put with this family, and they've been amazing to me. I've lived in North Dakota for 14 years. I'm sure a little bit of my draw still comes out a little bit. Sorry, guys. But I have been dealing in the past 3 years with less emotional restraints. I used to be, like I said, depressed, anxiety, things like that. I'm fighting that. I'm putting those blocks up there. I'm learning that God can, he will prevail. And he is pulling all that out of me. So now I'm being attacked physically through my children, through my health, through, and as much of a wonderful man my husband is, I'm starting to feel some tension. And it's not him, that's just it. He knows it. I've talked to him about it. It's not him, it's not me, but it's there. And it's because he's been my rock. He's been my backbone going, no, you go get in that Bible, young lady. Or all I got to do is say, hey, I need some time. He's like, okay, kids leave mom alone. She's doing her Bible study, you know. And he's so supportive of that that now the enemy is trying to hit that. He's trying to hit everything possible. Because now that I've learned how to block my heart from the enemy, now he's trying to hit me outside. And because of all of this, I'm seeing it. And I'm becoming aware of it. And I'm becoming stronger. And the enemy is fighting harder anywhere he possibly can. And I'm seeing all this. And I'm hearing these testimonies. And I see all you women, some of them on a weekly basis. And I see the strength. And I'm looking at it going, I want that. I envy the beauty that shines from you women. Because it is God's grace coming out of you. And I am learning from you. So watch your heels, ladies, because I'm learning. I'm watching. But I have 3 daughters. Who are they watching? They're watching me. So I have to be on my toes, too. And I just let you know that the Lord is setting us free. We have to grasp it, and we have to let him. Let him pull us through. Let him kick us in the butt and push us where we belong. We have to listen because God is the Almighty. God is working. I've listened to Victoria this morning and how she's telling that, you know, the enemy's going to tell you, you're no good. I've heard it. I'm 36 years old. I've heard it for 20 years. I'm no good. You know, it's that old song, you know, you're no good. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, yeah. All right. So, but it's like, you know what? We are. We're women. That's what we're here for. We're here to back our men as well as our men are here to back us. We're here to be unified together for God. And it's taken a long time to release so much anger and so much pain. And my husband has dealt with and heard earfuls of it, and he has stayed up at night listening to me ramble and cry and scream and yell, and it's not towards him, it's getting it out. But he is doing it because he knows that it's helping me go through that forgiveness, that forgetfulness, to just throw it all away and let it go. And that's what we have to do. We have to set ourselves free because the Lord's already done it. Now we have to do it.
My husband just went through, I guess this is just kind of an encouragement, is God's word is there, but we need to take it and apply it. It's just going to sit there unless we grab a hold of it and apply it. And my husband has been kind of sick. He just kind of went through a big surgery. And Pastor Jeff had texted me a scripture, is fight the good fight of faith. And do you know what? It is a battle to stay in faith. He had a big surgery, and a couple times I allowed myself to sink into a state of worry and fretting. He didn't know that I was there, but we have these scriptures that we're reading, and his faith activates God, and fear activates Satan. And whenever I'd get to that point, I had to start applying the tools that God had given me. And honestly, I know I had a lot of prayers behind me too. I stayed very, very much in a good place. And then we have a friend that's a doctor, and he'd stopped in to visit us, and my husband was outside visiting with some other people, and I was talking to him, and he said, and some people don't make it through. You know, it's a big surgery, and some people don't make it through. I could just feel this, just because he was a doctor. I was slipped so quickly down in, so I have a place of reference. I know what it's like to slip into that. And I walked into the house and I closed the door and I just said, I am not going there. I am not going there. I'm not going to spend any time there. So I didn't spend any time there. It didn't take long for me to slip down there, but I went in the house, I walked through my porch, went in the kitchen, shut the door, and I started verbally out loud saying, I'm not going there. I am not going to be there. And it wasn't but just a couple minutes, and I was back to where I had was staying. So I guess I just want to say, God's, you have to take and apply God's work. It is God's word. It is a fight of faith. It doesn't just lay there and come and jump on you. You need to take it and to apply it. And I did that. I kept taking it and applying it, and it works.
Always got something to say, and now when you're asked to say something, you won't speak up. She's never quiet, people, honestly. You do it. I don't know. I just feel you're supposed to. No.
I'm not good at mics, but ladies, this is a work of God. This is a masterpiece right here. This is my daughter who came to Christ a few years ago. And this mama couldn't be more proud. This is the answer to prayer. Thanks.
That doesn't even count. We'll get her later. It does count, Amber. Anybody else? Tell us a victory you've had.
I might as well go. As soon as Carol told us, or was saying, you know, Carol. Okay, well, I'm Danica. Hi, go here. That's my mom. Can you hear me now? Okay. Well, where to begin, I guess. I was one of those that battled fear at a really young age. I'm still young, but now you have an idea that I was really young. I don't know what age, about 8 maybe? Whatever. As a toddler, I was your social butterfly, you know, walk around, hey, what's up, you know? Or run around, oh, there's Danica, but I'm just going to say about 8 is when fear really struck in me. I was afraid if I wasn't afraid. And just deep fears, like it was rooted in me, and mom could read me like a book, you know, when I was afraid. It eventually led to being afraid of being raped and other things like that. But I want to say at age 12, when Timothy Stewart came out, he started doing awakening meetings, and I was just completely set free. So 3 years now, today, I'm completely set free of fear. So, praise God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Who's next? Who am I looking at? Oh, in the back, too, right now. Okay, was this Sharon? Did you have your, who was up here? Who is raising your hand here?
Hi. Yeah, this is me again. I am so thankful. I want to thank the Father for I am free of alcohol, self-pity, pride, loneliness, fear of rejection, every emptiness in my heart is being fulfilled. I fear of men, like Christy. I'm not proud of it. There's three marriages there, and it was up and down roller coaster. And it was kind of like Christy. Your wounds are always there, but God'll help you because He won't give you more than you can bear. I was fear of rejection all the time. I guess this started out when I was just a little girl. My sister, twin sister, passed away, and my dad worked on the road, and my mom tried to raise us kids, all three of us. We were bing, boom, bang, year apart. Well, I always thought that my brothers were favored, and I couldn't wait till my daddy got home. And I just kept praying about it and praying and praying. And the Lord said, you need to get out of this hole. And there was a time when Tim come down in the awakening, and he put his hands on me. He says, whoa. He said, you're going through a lot of stuff. He said, with all this fear of rejection, alcohol, self-pity, all that. And I just prayed to God. I says, please let me be an example. Be a better person and take some of this away so I can trust again. And which the Lord is still working with me, and we work every day together. I give my life to Him every morning, and He does with me what He wants me to. I follow, and just like it says, potter and clay, I ask Him every morning, mold me and shape me the way You want. Thank You, Jesus.
I really hate to talk about this again because it's past. It's under the blood, but I was brought up in a Christian home, and when I was 12, I gave my heart to the Lord. And then I went out to Fajocha and gave my life to the Lord. And I really felt like He wanted me to go into the mission field. I didn't. I fell in love. At 16, I was pregnant. We lost that baby. And then I married the man I loved. I loved him. I'd have done anything for him. But to make a long story short, he was severely mentally ill. He was very abusive, both to me and to our three children. And he walked away with the kids one day, and he said, you'll never see him again. And I didn't for a year. It's the hardest thing a mother can go through. But I had found a little Pentecostal church up there. We had moved to Alaska by then, and this little Pentecostal church just took me under their wing. And it was really neat how they would put the names of people in the congregation or whoever needed prayer, and then we would draw them out. And every meeting for about 3 weeks before he took the kids, his name was drawn out, and we would pray for him. He is Jehovah's Witness, and we sit across the table from each other and hash over the scriptures. We never could see eye to eye. But anyway, it was about a year before I saw the kids again. And after one particularly abusive session, I said, I can't. Does God want me to stay here in this situation? Does he expect us to endure bruises and bleeding and many things that go along. I was in the hospital. And then I ran into the scripture. And it said, if the unbeliever depart, let him depart. The believer is not under bondage in such cases. And he had departed and taken my girls along. He went back to California. I found out he was back down there. I wanted my kids back so bad. But it was during this time, this is what I want you ladies to hear. It was during this deepest part of the valley that I grew. If any of you are in bad situations or going through trials, you know, you don't see flowers on the top of a mountain. You see them in the valley. And just take advantage of that time when communication is gone, and literally everything was taken from my life. My husband, my little girls. I was stuck way up in Alaska, no car, no job, no nothing. But the Lord. And he told me, Joshua 1:9, and I've claimed it, and I still claim it. It says, don't be afraid. For I, the Lord, your God, am with you wherever you go. And if you love the Lord, that's where you'll be, and that will give you faith and perseverance, and it changes your heart. You know, you learn to become submissive, and I was not a submissive girl. Mm-mm. But he taught me so many lessons during that time. And then I came back to North Dakota, and I got mad at God, really. I just told him, I've prayed and prayed and prayed for 10 years for this guy, and how come you haven't answered my prayer the way I expected you to do? And I turned to the world. I began drinking, and with my girlfriends, and they introduced me to men. I had never had any worldly relationships, really, but I started dating the wrong kind of men. I am ashamed to say. But you know, when the Lord got hold of my heart, I can remember it plain as day. I was in bed, the door, bedroom door was open, and I opened my eyes, and there stood Jesus in my doorway. And he said, I still have a plan for your life, and I still love you. Give it up and come back to me. And I did. And a couple of days later, the man I'm married to now called me. And it's been an uphill road from then. I still battle with things in my mind. Satan wants to remind you of how bad you've been. I'm not bad. I am a child of God. And so I'm thankful for what he taught me in the valley. And I'm thankful for the way God has blessed my life so much since then.
Well, I want to tell you about Rhonda, because before Tim Stoon, when Tim Stoon was coming, we'd been praying for revival in this area. And I was laying in bed. I wasn't even fully awake. And the Lord spoke to me. This was just a few couple days before Tim came. And the Lord spoke to me and says, I want you to invite Rhonda Conan to the Tim Stoon meetings. I want to heal her. And I said, what? Because I wasn't even fully awake. And the Lord said again, I want you to invite Rhonda Conan to the Tim Stoon meetings because I want to heal her. And I said, Lord, I don't know where Rhonda Conan is. I hardly even know her. And anyway, then through a process, I found out where she was, and she actually wasn't very far away. And I went and I invited her to, she wasn't that far away. She wasn't in Fargo. And so I tell you, she's the most valuable treasure. You know, we are a treasure. We are valued by God. God values every one of us. And he valued Rhonda, and he wanted to touch her and heal her.
Somebody wanted us to show this video, so we're just going to do that at this time, and then we'll take a little break. But thank you for sharing, guys. And we just pray it's an encouragement to all of you to hear what other gals have gone through.
Buy One, Take One is back.
That's
tonight,
not
enjoy
it.
Enjoy breadsticks, salad, and your choice of entrees, like smoked mozzarella chicken. Then
sorry,
take home another
you
entree
too.
For tomorrow free.
Just
it's
ignore
two
that.
Delicious nights of togetherness. Buy One, Take One, starting at $12.99 at Olive Garden.
That Spanx.
Came, stole my mind, wrapped my soul in chains. Now I live among the dead, fighting voices in my head, hoping someone hears me crying in the night and carries me away. Set me free.
Free, oh, the chains are holding me. Glory. That's my Jesus. Is that your Jesus? Hallelujah. I'm going to hold just a second here. We're going to let you just go grab a cup of coffee, grab something to drink first, and I think without taking a big full half-hour break, we're just going to come back in and maybe get right into things, a few preliminaries, and then we'll have Vicky come. But so can you do that just if you need a bathroom break and grab a cup of coffee or something? Don't take off and go. There's only one session left, girl. I know many of us have sat through kids' volleyball tournaments and basketball tournaments from 8 in the morning, dance shows till 9 at night, and we've survived. It's only 3 o'clock, okay? So hang in there.